This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Well, 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 your portal for up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being.
Sponsored by Thorn Harbour Health. Thornharbour.org.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome, and you're listening to Well, 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 brought to you each week by Thorn Harbour Health here on Joy 94.9. My name is Jessie, and I am your host for this evening. Joining me today as my co-host is the lovely Martin, who's one of my health promotion volunteers back again this evening. He really does enjoy helping out on these shows, and so it's an absolute pleasure to have him here. Martin, how are you doing tonight?
I'm going pretty well. This is my second time here, so hopefully you see more of me. Well, you hear more of me.
Totally. So hopefully you get used to his voice, because I really enjoy having Martin on the show to assist me. But why don't you tell our lovely listeners, Martin, what we are talking about on the show tonight?
Sure. So we'll be talking about LGBTQI homelessness, but in particular, homelessness within people living with HIV. We'll be joined over the phone by Claudia, who is the Housing Plus team leader over at the Positive Living Centre. And she's here to really dive into homelessness within people living with HIV and explore the issues related about that, but also talking about the Housing Plus program.
Yes, indeed. I've got joining us today Claudia Valaidem, who works in the Housing Plus program at the Positive Living Centre. Claudia, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. Would you mind telling the listeners just a little bit about yourself and what your role is at PLC?
Yeah, hi everyone, and thanks Jessie for having me on the show. My name's Claudia. I'm the Housing Plus team leader at Thorn Harbour Health, and my role is supporting people into community and apartment housing properties that both people from the community that live with HIV.
Great, thanks so much. And would you mind telling us a bit of why you have an interest in working with the homeless and kind of like how you got into that sector?
Oh, wow. Yeah. I guess I started back in the not-for-profit sector when I was about 19. So wow. I've been doing it for, nearly 18, 19 years now. So I guess I've been working for with marginalised communities for some time. And within that, I've worked, when I first came to Australia, I was working in Sydney with St George Community Housing. And I worked on the supported tenants team there. And then I moved on to Mission Australia, where I worked on the HASI program, which is Housing Accommodation Support Initiative, working with people that are in community housing that have mental health issues.
Yep.
And then I headed up a team with the same organisation called a team called the MISHA program, and that was basically picking a handful of people that were living rough on the streets in Parramatta.
Wow, that would have been pretty intense.
Yeah, it was pretty intense, and it was about 60 homeless men and putting them straight into Department of Housing properties. It was basically a Housing First model, so straight into homes and with wraparound support. So, yeah, I guess I've been doing housing and homelessness for some time.
Yeah, you're a bit of a veteran. Yeah, it's amazing.
I'm not too old, though.
No, of course not. This is great. I'm excited to kind of continue this show because homelessness is really close to my heart. So with regards to homeless individuals, we know that, people from the LGBTIQ community do experience disproportionate levels of homelessness, and especially so for those living with HIV. Could you kind of explore a little bit as to why this is?
Yeah, look, I think people living with HIV experience a higher degree of the feeling of isolation or being isolated, and that's a big issue within the community. There's also, stigma and self-stigmatisation by others, and complex health issues related to managing their health and living with HIV. But look, I think, the bigger issue is the disconnection from community, from services, from the family, and that feeling of isolation. I think, people living with HIV don't necessarily connect
to community as others do. Yeah. I think that's... Yeah,
it is a very, it's a really complex issue, isn't it? Because if we're talking about stigma, it can affect you in the sense of like whether it's a, like a, from a government structural level or, you know, whether it's things they've experienced through their experience in terms of mental health, physical health, their ability to get a job, you know, that, like you said, that lack of connection with community. And it's just kind of like layer upon layer. And, you know, whether that moves into other areas of their health. It's quite a conglomerate of issues, isn't it?
I wanted to explore more about the intersectionality between homelessness, LGBTI and HIV. And so, Claudia, what are the physical and mental health outcomes amongst people living with HIV who are homeless?
When we're talking about physical and mental health outcomes, a lot of the clients that we're seeing here have a high degree of mental health issues. So we're talking about, you know, due to isolation and stigmatisation, they're suffering from things like anxiety, depression. And obviously, people managing anxiety and depression and mental health issues tend to, at times, have also issues with alcohol and drugs. Probably a high degree of our clients are kind of managing, you know, complexities and comorbidities.
Yeah, of course. And those things all affect things like your ability to hold, to kind of gain employment and, you know, access those services and stuff like that.
That's correct. And also, you know, to kind of have some continuity and stability in the community. And even to, you know, they struggle to hold down tenancies. So some of the clients that come into the service, you know, we can support them to access short-term accommodation like boarding houses. But when they're also trying to manage their AOD, sometimes that, you know, can be very complicated and they lose accommodation or become transient, because of the mental health and AOD.
Yeah, of course. And I think that at Thorn Harbour and kind of just through the work you do, that's something that's kind of quite understood, which is really stresses the importance of kind of caring for a client as a whole in terms of supporting them mental health-wise with the AOD kind of support as well as housing. So it really is a bit of a whole package when you're kind of looking at individual, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, clients that come through to our service, I refer on to our other services within Thorn Harbour. So the AOD service is the counselling service. Mm-hmm. So we give them a holistic approach.
Yeah.
It's not just housing that we're tackling. We're also tackling them being housing ready. You know, we can't put someone in transitional to permanent housing unless we feel, you know, that we can start them off on the right foot and they're able to maintain a tenancy.
Yeah. With housing ready, can you explain that terminology? What are the steps that you sort of take to get to that housing ready stage?
Oh, wow. Yeah, great question. There's a few. I guess for me personally, being housing ready means about them engaging with services. Mm. So if they have, for instance, mental health or AOD issues, that they're engaging to gain some support to manage those issues. Mm. Because obviously when they enter a tenancy, they have to think about bills, they have to think about you know, paying those bills. They have to think about maybe whether they want to go back to work. They have to think about getting on with neighbours. They have to think about doing the daily chores.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot. And it's sometimes if you've been homeless for quite some time, it can be a little bit daunting to have to go into something that's, long term. And now they have to, all these responsibilities.
Yeah.
You know, it's imperative. We see, you know, I see so many people going into tenancies that are not really ready to manage a tenancy.
Yeah.
It's about giving them the best chance possible to be able to maintain a tenancy long term.
Yeah, for sure. Just sort of anecdotally, with the clients that you've kind of seen come in, do they understand that side of things, or is it kind of, are they more eager to kind of jump into more of a long-term tenancy, or is it quite a good understanding from them that they need to kind of be housing ready before they can access long-term housing?
Yeah, look, it's a bit 50-50, really. I think on the minds of the clients, it's about getting a roof over their head. And look, I can understand that. They want that security. They want that safety. They want that stability. And I think, you know, that's the primary thing that they're thinking of. And that's where I come in, really. My role is to make sure that they understand everything that comes with a tenancy, that they understand, you know, how to put a maintenance issue in, that they understand how to manage, you know, a potential issue with a neighbour, whether it's antisocial behaviour, that they understand how to set up Centrelink, direct payments from Centrelink to housing to pay their rent. Look, I do a lot of that with the client, and I do a lot of preparation before the tenancy begins. And then, fingers crossed, hope for the best. And you know, 99% of the time it does work out.
It does or it doesn't?
Oh, it does, it does.
It does, yeah, okay. Thank God. That's good to know. I mean, that's why we've got you, Claudia. I know, I like, all that kind of stuff, like accessing, like, Centrelink and all that kind of, you know, legal documentation. It's really daunting, regardless of who you are, you know?
Oh, totally, it's much. I mean, when I enter a tenancy, for sure.
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to do all these things and I haven't set up the electricity or the water yet.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's especially, if you've been experiencing those kind of issues and kind of being homeless, it must be really quite a terrifying process. It's great. But
and and imagine if you have something like depression, you know, anxiety, you know, or you have, you know, another mental health issue. To think about all that causes a lot of stress. So
it drives you deeper into, like, anxious.
Case management alongside that is definitely a bonus.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. And I think one of the things we've noticed is there really is a lack of services catering to whether it's people living with HIV or homeless in general, you know, and that's real shame that there is such a lack of services, and it'd be good to see more of this kind of thing happen.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of mainstream services providing support to people who are homeless, but unfortunately there is a lack of understanding around the complex issues of people living with HIV and indeed the complex issues faced by our LGBTQI community. You know, it's an organisation like ours that that understands those issues, that works with our community and people living with HIV, that is probably best placed to support homeless people.
And I guess we talked about some of the issues and determinants related to homelessness, and we know that there are great housing support services like Housing Plus, which we'll go into more detail a bit later. But can you share some of the challenges of accessing support services?
I guess some of the feedback that we've been getting from clients is that they're really confused and they find accessing housing overwhelming. And I know that within Victoria things are going to change, that they're all going to work towards the one system, so basically all housing stock is in the one place. But it's basically around, you know, how many forms they have to fill in. You know, there's a Victorian housing register that they have to apply for, and then there's the community housing providers that have to fill out more forms. You know, and kind of keeping up to date with, you know, addresses, phone numbers. I mean, people that are transient really struggle with that. It's something that I get, because sometimes I'm filling in the forms going, oh my God, this is so complicated. How does somebody like trying to access it for the first time understand all of that? But yeah, and I guess just kind of understand the lay of the land and how kind of community housing is separate from the Victorian Housing Register.
And we'll go into that in a bit. But I think also I'm just kind of assuming here that knowing about a service like Housing Plus is also would be an issue in itself, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, we've got a great partnership with Launch Housing, and you know, through this partnership, we're able to have a really strong referral pathway system.
Yeah.
So when they identify that, you know, someone's HIV positive, or from the LGBTQI community, we work together in supporting them to access what housing they may need. So whether that's crisis accommodation, supported accommodation, transitional, and then into permanent.
Yeah.
And they're both here at the centre as well, 2 days a week.
Great. That's yeah. That's really good to have like that integration of that pool of services and whatnot, and referrals to kind of help each other out. But as far as I'm aware, the Housing Plus program only actually started about a year ago. Is that right?
Yeah, Thorn Harbour Health took over the Housing Plus program back in September last year.
Yeah.
So we've had it for just under a year now. And before that, it was managed by Star Health. But Housing Plus has been around for many, many, many years.
Yes,
late 90s, actually. Yeah, and it was started up through the AIDS Housing Action Group, who identified that people living with HIV should have the dignity to be taken care of and you know, die in their own homes rather than in hospitals where people, you know, whether they were losing dignity and I guess just HIV was not really understood.
Yeah.
So they petitioned hard to get people homes with 2 bedrooms so they could have their carer in there to look after them, you know, in their last days.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's this program's, I'm quite emotional when I talk about this program because it has history.
Definitely.
Some of the clients that were back in the, you know, the early 2000s are still with us. Mm. So, you know, I met a guy just the other day who had, you know, AHAG had put him into his home with his partner. You know, his partner had passed away 9 years ago. And he's still in the same house 22 years later. So I was kind of, I met the client and I was welling up a little bit. I was trying not to show it. But
that's
amazing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, thanks for sharing with us with that that bit of history, because it really, it's touching and it kind of just speaks a bit deeper into the story behind it, even though nowadays, I suppose, you know, the number of people dying from AIDS and AIDS-related illnesses is a lot lower. The whole idea of people living with HIV having the right to dignity is ever more present as it was now, as it is back then. It's definitely, beautiful thing to share. Since it has started with us at Thorn Harbour Health, though, what are the numbers like through the door? Is it busy? Like, what's the client like?
Oh, well, yeah. I think I need 10 of me.
I know.
Yeah. Since we opened the doors, we've seen, quite a large proportion of people living with HIV want to access the service. So far, we've probably had over 170 people come in and see the IAP worker, which is the intake assessment and planning worker. To launch housing. So we've been supporting a number of people to access mainly crisis accommodation and boarding houses and supported accommodation. And then hopefully working with some of those people, case managing them into transitional and then permanent housing.
Great.
Yeah, and so like we said, there's probably need like 10 of you to actually, you know, so many people, you know, interview the door. But you need to touch on this, what is it that clients can actually get through the Housing Plus program exactly?
Basically, they can get some support to navigate the system, and that's probably the hardest thing. We sit with them to talk them through what it is they need to do, the services they need to access. We can help them fill in the forms. We can do referrals to other services if they need that, so whether that's mental health, AOD, counselling. And then what would happen is, obviously, once they're accepted onto the Victorian Housing Register, they go onto the Housing Plus waitlist, where they can be obviously nominated towards one of the properties that we have nomination rights to. We currently have 38. Half of those we have nomination rights to, and we do have vacancies come up every now and then.
Great. And you did kind of talk about there was this government housing thing, community housing, and as far as I'm aware, they are two different streams of housing.
Yes.
Yeah, so could you kind of expand on that a little bit?
Well, it's a little bit different from New South Wales, where they have one register. So all Department of Housing and Community Housing properties all together in one spot. So at the moment here in Victoria, what you would have to do is you'd have to go onto the Victorian Housing Register, which would make you eligible for a Department of Housing property, which would be permanent. That wait list currently is around 7 years. It does take some time to get one.
It's 7 years?
Yeah.
Like you wait 7 years until...
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's quite a way.
Wow.
And then, and you can also fill in applications to community housing. So, for instance, Launch, Aboriginal Housing, Housing Choices, Paran Melbourne. There's a massive list of them, and you can apply through them.
Okay.
It may be a shorter wait, but obviously through Housing Plus we can get you, kind of immediate crisis supported accommodation if you are obviously homeless, sleeping rough or couch surfing.
Yeah.
Great. And then we can obviously do the work that is needed to get you either transitional or permanent. There is a bit of a wait, but look, sometimes I do get vacancies on the Housing Plus waitlist, so we may not be waiting as long as 7 years, but unfortunately the housing sector is a little bit in crisis.
Yeah, definitely something that needs some focus, isn't it? And Claudia, if someone was actually interested in accessing the program for the first time, how would they go about doing that?
Oh, well, it's pretty easy. They would have to come down to the PLC or give us a call on our number, 9863-0444. Mm-hmm. They can ask for myself or they can ask for the initial planning and assessment worker from Launch, who's Niamh.
Yeah.
And make an appointment and come in and see us.
Yeah, and it's Claudia is very friendly and approachable, so I think that's a really good starting point. But if people do decide to access the service or head to PLC, could you kind of mention again what are some of the other client care and support services that they could receive at the Positive Living Centre?
Oh, yeah, look, there's so much going on here. It's worth just checking some of it out. We have the most attended is the lunch. We have a great chef, Leah Katz, that puts on the lunch on a Tuesday, and then she does the dinner on the Thursday.
Yeah.
There's the art therapy. There's pantry, so you can pick up some discounted shopping. There's yoga. There's the home care and support, to get some support accessing or basically casework to navigate services in the community. There's DWF and the financial counsellor if you need some financial assistance. I think that's probably about it. Lots of stuff going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we do have any of our dear listeners who are kind of going through the process or facing difficulties with accessing housing, any sort of anecdotal tips or bits of advice you could give them if they don't happen to be able to physically come in and access our service per se?
Yeah, look, I think the best tips I could give someone who is struggling and they're homeless or seeking accommodation is get yourself on the Victorian Housing Register.
Mm-hmm.
Agencies that could support with that, housing agencies such as Launch Housing are probably the better ones to approach, or Housing Choices. Just give them a call, drop in and see them and ask them to put you on the Victorian Housing Register. You can complete community housing application forms with them. You can access HEF funding, which will fund some nights accommodation at a crisis accom place of your choice. Look, there's lots of support out there. There's also a 24-hour hotline.
Yeah.
It's manned all of the time, so whenever you need to call it, there'll be somebody on the other end.
Do you
the number
have that
is 1-800. Yes, I do.
Sorry. Read that number again to our lovely listeners.
It's stitched into my trench coat. It's 1-800-825-955, and that's manned 24 hours, where somebody on the other end can give you some advice and support around how to access housing.
Fantastic. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up, Claudia?
I guess I'd just like to say that, there is lots of support out there for people that are homeless.
Mm-hmm.
So just reach out. And you know, whether it's ourselves, if you're from the community or living with HIV, yeah, but just don't suffer in silence. There's a lot of stuff that you can access, and yeah, just give us a call.
Yeah, fantastic. And last but not least, would you mind repeating that number to call if they wanted to access the Housing Plus program?
Sure. So for Housing Plus, that's 9863-0444.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Claudia. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you guest on Well, Well, Well. And have a lovely rest of the evening to all you lovely listeners. My name is Jessie and my co-host Martin. Thanks again to Claudia from the Housing Plus, Thorn Harbour Health. This is Well, 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 and you're listening to Joy 94.9. And we've come to the end of yet another lovely show, haven't we, Martin?
Yes, we have. Oh my goodness, I really love the show. I always love being here. It's always such great fun.
He really does. He gets super excited at like really stressful moments. So it's quite bizarre, but it's awesome having you on board and helping me out. And just as we close off, just to remind our lovely listeners that next weekend is actually the Northside Bazaar coming up, which is super exciting. It is on Saturday, the 20th of October. But if you haven't already heard about Northside Bazaar, which I would be surprised, Martin, why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners what it is all about?
Sure. So Northside Bazaar is a pretty much like an outdoor street festival hosted by the Laird Hotel. They take over part of the street and the whole of the Laird and the Masonic Hall next door. It's pretty much open, and you know, it's a really good chance to like, you know, catch up with your friends. But also, there's going to be stores, food available, really exciting auctions. So that's the best bit. It's always like really great fun being at an auction.
Yeah.
From two different stages, and of course, drinks. You know, afternoon drinks. How much fun can that be?
All day drinks, yeah. All day long.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. And there is some really nice and sexy and fetish stuff being auctioned up and being sold by different stores, but also other things that are being sold to, like pot plants and arts and crafts. And so it's a really wide, you know, mix of things.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a really exciting, fun atmosphere. And this one is open up to everyone. All genders are welcome to join to Laird Hotel and join to the Northside Bazaar. And I hope to see everyone there. But we are currently looking for volunteers to help on the day. So please, if you can, we'd love to hear from you. If you are interested, you can email at volunteer@thornharbour.org. And Jessie, I hope to see you at Northside Bazaar.
Yeah, I really hope to see all our lovely listeners and to see you next Saturday at the Northside Bazaar. And I can't thank you enough, Martin, for assisting me today in our scramble for this show tonight. But you've been a fantastic assistant and it's been really great having you.
No, thank you. I've learned so much. And yeah, thank you for listeners for, like, you know, inviting me into your home participation for evening.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so I guess that is it from us.
Yeah.
And you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.